Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of May. We're coming to you live, and we're going to talk about God the Father for the next half hour of the program. We hear about the fatherhood of God and all men are children of God, things like that, these kind of generic and very general statements that don't point us to any particular God or deity and doesn't really say much about that God. It says more about what we hope for ourselves as human beings, getting along in the world, having world peace, things like that. Now, the Christian concept of God as Father goes deeper than that. We're going to talk about that for the next half hour. Joining us, Dr. Brett Taylor, professor of mathematics and chair of the Natural Sciences Division at Concordia University, California. He's author of a booklet in the Lutheran Difference series titled God the Father. Dr. Taylor, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It's great being with you today.
Explain this so that we can all understand it. The difference between this being a way we think about God and as opposed to God really is Father. He really is our Father.
Well, as Bible-believing Christians, we of course turn back to the Scripture, I think, to see what does God tell us of himself. And throughout, from the very first reference in Genesis 1 through all the way through the end of the book of Revelation, he shares with us his attributes, his qualities. All too often, people want to try to make God into kind of their own image, into who they think he should be, which probably unfortunately looks a lot like themselves. And instead, Scripture just keeps pointing us to who God really is. And some of those things we grab onto and hold dearly, and some of those things as humans scare us, and yet we need to hear the fullness of God's attributes.
Can we even make sense of God as Father without immediately talking about Jesus Christ as his son?
Of course not. Now, you know, the best place to refer to that is to look carefully at what he says about himself, that Christ, as he comes into the world and as he redeems the world, he takes away many of those things that we as people in our sinfulness want to push away. We don't want to hear about God's holiness. We don't want to hear about his jealousy and his wrath upon sin. And yet here comes Christ in his fullness to take away and to take upon himself those things so that now we actually become a part of God's family in an intimate way. And so definitely you have to turn back to Christ. He says, if you want to know who God is, look at me.
How do we reconcile these two very clear teachings of Scripture, that God is one and there is no other God but him, but God is also three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Well, that's that is one of those really poignant questions, but also one of the very deep things of the Christian faith is the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm a commissioned minister, so I have a pretty limited understanding of some of those things, and it falls within my mathematical understanding to say there are lots of things about this I'll never grasp onto and never come to grips with. But the idea that he is God, and that he has told us in his word that he is three in one, as we confess and as we hear at baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here he is. And to me, that's one of the great connections of the Old Testament to the New Testament, the original creed of the people of God saying the Lord is one, and yet in his word, him sharing with us his fullness of his ability to reach out and to see us and to connect to us through Father, Son, and Spirit.
Obviously, not all of the things that we associate with fathers transfer to God. In fact, I think Luther was fond of saying that we need to reverse that way of thinking. We need to think of earthly fathers more in terms of how they weakly reflect the perfection that is in God, rather than try to apply what we see in our fathers upward to God. But what are some of the things that ought to be, we ought to be mindful when we learn about God as Father?
Yeah, that's a great point, because when we start to think of God in terms of our earthly fathers and those men who have represented that, we soon get a very distorted picture, because we fail. And, you know, as a father myself, I've failed way too often for somebody to think that that's what God's like. And yet, he's called us through vocation as fathers to be the men who represent his love and his grace. I tend to go back, as I was doing this study, to Luther's explanation in the first article. And he talks about God's created, God provides, he protects, and he preserves. And, of course, some of those things fall on earthly fathers. You know, we are asked to provide. We're asked to protect and preserve as best we can within our families. And yet we do that all too often so frivolously that we pray for our forgiveness when we screw that up. But we also ask God to direct us, guide us, and lead us so that our children, our families can see a bit of what he's really like.
Let's talk about kind of the way he makes us his children, because at least the New Testament seems to indicate, fallen as we are not by nature children of God at all, but children of wrath. How does God make himself our Father, make us his children?
Well, it all begins with his act in baptism. For Christians, we look at that concept, that doctrine of baptism, of God initiating, building faith, and bringing us into his family. And all too often in the world around us, we hear of people thinking that's their duty, that's their responsibility. And Scripture's so clear to say this is God coming to humans once again through this means of grace. And so in baptism, We are brought into that family. We're brought into that loving relationship that enables us then to serve and to work in God's kingdom as instruments of his love.
And to be his children, what does that mean, to be children of God?
Well, we certainly, you know, when I think of the kids in my house, there's a reliance, there's a dependence, but it's much more than just looking for God for all the right answers or turning to him when you need certain things. There's so many things in life that tend to go back, for me, back to this first article, things like the value, the importance of life itself, the blessing of life and of the Christian life especially. It goes into vocation. What do I do, and who am I as a servant in God's world and amongst his people? It talks about stewardship, that I realize that every single thing that I have comes from God's hand, and therefore I'm just a manager. I'm somebody who's trying to use those gifts and abilities and talents in a way that somehow serve and serve God's people appropriately. So there is more than just hanging back and waiting for God the Father to pass on the car keys, so to speak, to me. It's much more about looking at the entirety of the Christian life and saying, all right, this all stems from him, and now how has he asked me to live in his love and in his grace amongst these people of God?
So it goes all the way down into the ordinary things of life and changes our perspective and, if you will, even our motivation on all of those things. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. The whole doctrine of vocation stems from the fact that God, in his grace, brings us into his family, bestows upon us his gifts, and then puts us forward into various roles, places, and positions. And so I serve in my family as a spouse, as a father. I serve in my society as a citizen, within my job, here for myself as a teacher. But so many different places when you start start looking at the idea of vocation, that tends to be that, not the high points, not the mountaintop experiences that God always, people think that's where he's really going to be, but he's there with us at every moment, and in those simple, mundane, sometimes seemingly unimportant things, there we are as a representative, as a mask of God for people around us.
Can we say in any sense that all human beings are children of God, or should we reserve that designation for those we've been talking about, believers in Jesus Christ?
Well, there, as part of creation, again, my understanding would be that every single person has a value as an important person in what we think of as God's sight, created, made by him, God longing for people to be with him in heaven forever. We certainly, we need to let people know that is who God has told us he is, that he is for all nations, for all people, that he has put forward his grace and his love available. And yet, We also know that when faith comes into people through baptism, there it is, as a member of God's family, that puts us in a whole kind of different place, in a place where we are now his servants, but we also will reap someday all of his eternal benefits, all of the inheritance that he promises us in heaven. So it's not just a Christian people that we need to think about. We need to let everybody know that here is the God who creates all, who wants all to be a part of his family. And yet, as Christians, aren't we called to be in that special relationship with him? And we're thankful for that.
Dr. Brett Taylor is our guest. He's professor of mathematics and chair of the Natural Sciences Division at Concordia University, California, author of the booklet in the Lutheran Difference series titled God the Father. We'll be right back with about another 15 minutes in this first hour of Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is a devotional resource called Stark's Prayer Book. You'll find prayers for patience, strength, sickness, thanksgiving, dying, and more in Stark's Prayer Book. This devotional resource costs $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Stark's Prayer Book.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
They both existed before this life and earth did drop. Before time tick tock, they was all in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, man, it was all together. Called one God, three persons in the Godhead.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about God the Father on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 18th. Dr. Brett Taylor is our guest. 10 more minutes with him, then in hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll talk about the sexualization of girls. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest. Dr. David Menton will be alongside to talk about evolution and an explanation for an ancient mass extinction of fish that evolutionists have known but been unable to explain for a long time. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will round it off in the last half hour. We'll talk about two issues: open same-sex marriages, not just same-sex marriage, but open marriage practiced by same-sex couples. And we'll also talk with her about tithing. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can Twitter us with questions or comments, at IssuesETC, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Taylor, Jesus contrasts earthly fathers with the heavenly Father by way of talking about how he answers prayer and how he provides for us. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, certainly, as we look at the scripture, we hear of Christ serving as the intercessor, as the one who steps and speaks to God on our behalf and brings our prayers before, just as the Old Testament priest did. And yet we know that in some of those stories that you refer to in the gospel, that there is a distinct difference in the way that fathers respond. He refers to the idea of, if you asked a father for a fish, would he give you something else, or give you a snake? And we know that there's kind of this feeling of right and wrong within people, and yet we tend to, as sinful humans, to move towards always doing things for ourselves and for our own purposes. Christ tells us that through him, God is there answering our prayers and hearing and knowing what we need, and knowing those things better than we even know ourselves when we ask. And that, what a great blessing as Christians to be aware that there is a God who sees the bigger picture and knows more than just my sinful desires, and says, "Now this is more along the lines of what's necessary."
Luther talks about, when he discusses the Lord's Prayer, he talks about how in that opening we should take from it the cue to very confidently go before Father, our Father in heaven, with all sorts of concerns, just like children would not fear to ask of their earthly fathers such great things. Talk about the Lord's Prayer and God as our Father.
Well, don't we understand that prayer, as representative of how we should always approach God, points us, first of all, to the fact that we have in Christ and in and through our baptism an intimate relationship, one that elsewhere in Scripture that uses basically the word daddy to refer to how we can approach and be connected to God through Christ. And so in that Lord's Prayer, we look at what our relationship is in faith, that we stand before a Father that loves us and cares about us immensely, and yet we also see through the petitions the things that God says, here's what's really important. And so we thank God for our daily bread. We ask God to keep us out of harm's way, but we also beg and plead for forgiveness for the times that we have gone in front of our Father and said, I'll do it my own way, and we're thankful that that's Christ's work that redeems us from that.
People going through hard times sometimes are tempted to, even often do, say, look, if God is a Father, he's negligent, he's absent, I'm in trouble, I have real needs and concerns and problems, and he seems to be nowhere on this. How should we respond?
Well, we certainly need to, first of all, understand that we as sinful humans find many ways to take away from God's providence and preservation. You know, we look at the world around us and we see the things that happen, and many of those times we have to realize, whether it's myself personally or whether it's the society I live in or just humanity, sinful fallen humanity as a whole, we take away, you know, we push away those kinds of things, and we create many problems. The stuff that's happening in the Gulf of Mexico, another example in some ways of how we as humans tend to take away from God's preservation. Yet we know, and this is where, you know, the first article again, and Luther's explanation points us back to, God is there as protector, provider, and yet I think we often get too wrapped up into what's today like. What is it going to be? How is he going to provide today for me? And many of those protections and providings are things that are eternal. They're spiritual. They are things that are going to have eternal effects, as opposed to just in this short lifespan.
And when we are tempted to think that God is absent or that he isn't listening, what kind of comfort does Scripture offer us?
Well, it's throughout the Scripture where he points to us to the fact that he is a refuge and strength, it says in Psalm 46, that he is a very present help in trouble, and understanding, again, that his timing, his understanding of what is needed might be vastly different than the way I picture it. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians that always tends to help in some ways me understand some of these things, from 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then I'll see face to face. Now I know in part, then I'll know in full." There are so many things that are outside of my limited understanding as a human being that there's trust that's required, and that's where we see the fulfillment throughout Scripture of God keeping his promises, of loving his people, not always in the way that they wanted it done, but certainly in the way that is best for them. And when you look at God's track record, it's pretty strong, and we have to at some point have some faith that that is going to continue.
You mentioned earlier Luther's explanation of the Creed, and that first part of the Creed talking about God the Father as creator. Luther puts a very strong emphasis on the fact that what God does for us, he does as gift. He essentially gives and gives and gives. As our time winds down, talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, that the part there at the very end of his explanation, where he does this out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me, is it's really kind of, to me, the hallmark point to say that applies to everything that happens. No, I don't wake up in the morning. I don't have food on my table. I don't have a job. I don't have a family. I don't have faith, and I don't have the hope of eternal life unless I look at God's gracious hand and his providing. And when you see that, when you kind of look at the whole world in that view, suddenly I think the ideas of Christian life, of stewardship, of what I do on a daily basis, now I see them in a much different way, and that allows me to live that life to his glory, and to again, ask for forgiveness the dimes that I messed that up.
Do we ever outgrow such a father? Do we ever reach a point where we say, I don't need God to be this kind of father to me? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know, as I've gotten older, I've been more and more thankful for a God who watches on a daily basis. I thought when I was young, I was invincible. When my family started, I thought things would always be perfect. And now with teenagers in the house and things like that, all of a sudden you realize it's a lot of stuff that's out of my own control. So the answer is very simply, no. We probably rely even more on God as Father as we grow older and hopefully a bit wiser in his ways.
Folks, Dr. Brett Taylor is author of a booklet in the Lutheran Difference series titled God the Father. It's a short and simple Bible study on that subject, exploring all the things that we've discussed briefly here with him. Find out more about the Lutheran Difference series and God the Father in that series by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You also find a link to God the Father in the Lutheran Difference series by Dr. Brett Taylor at our Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Brett Taylor is professor of mathematics and chair of the Natural Sciences Division at Concordia University, California. Thank you very much for being our guest.
God's blessings to you, sir.
He calls himself our Father. It's not just that we call him Father. He calls himself our Father. He doesn't have to. He created us. We rebelled. We ceased to be children of God and made ourselves children of wrath and enemies of God. It is not out of some necessity that he does this other than his great love for us. In John's first epistle, he says, "Behold the manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God." And then he says, and that is what we are. Because when God calls himself our Father, that makes us his children. And he has called us his children. He has called himself our Father by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son comes, the only begotten Son from all eternity comes through the womb of the Virgin Mary to bring God's children back, to put them back where they belong, with their Father, forgiven, redeemed, saved eternally, all because of what the Son, Jesus, has done for us. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. David Menton will be our guest. We'll talk about evolution and an ancient mass extinction of fish.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.